Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is everything you never knew you wanted to know about Dupuytren's disease and Neanderthal genetics. It's another scintillating thriller.
Wow, that was a lot. I feel like there's some unpacking that's going to have to happen.
That's pretty much the whole thing right there. Three more sentences and we're done.
Oh, that's it? Oh, okay. Well, if you'd like to hear more episodes, ask your smart speaker.
There's a little more.
Okay.
All right. Shall we just jump right in? I don't have any great little stories today.
You don't have like a, once I had a rash and it was interesting. Now let's talk about.
I did have a rash and it was in my armpit.
Oh, you did?
Not recently, but I am much more empathetic rash people. Apparently pistachios are no longer my jam. Isn't
no.
that a tragedy?
That is. Now, is it also moving into other nuts or pistachios?
Ooh,
like your own special?
I was noteworthy because apparently if pistachios or cashews ping, you get both. That's a combo deal. And for me, so we did the initial testing and cashews did not pop up. And so I got a call back like a few days later. I think he had molded over and he's like, that was weird. And I think we should just double check so I don't accidentally die of cashews because it didn't pop up on my test. And twice in a row, it didn't. So that's anomalous and fun.
Wow. So you're genetically weird. I'm so proud of you.
I know. That leads us right into the road we're going down.
It's like we planned it, even though we really, really didn't.
Depending on how you cut that, we're going to either sound super smooth or they'll get the reality.
Oh, no, I'm leaving it all in. People need to know that the dirty secret is that we're just winging it over here.
And that this sort of conversation is how we decided that we're interesting enough that people would want to hear us talk. So thank you for joining us, everyone.
Yay.
All right. So molecular biology and evolution is from whence this information comes. There is a condition known as Dupuytren's disease, and it is something that is normally common in Northern Europeans. And what Dupuytren's disease is, how it presents, is the hand slowly curls in and becomes permanently flexed. Oftentimes it's the middle finger and the ring finger, but it can be any of the fingers, but you end up like the claw. And they have known that there's a genetic component in this for a long time. In 1999, a Danish study reported 80% heritability. And you see it in Norwegians and a lot of that area of Europe. That's strong. There's a genetic component, which there's a lot of things that are. That's not surprising.
Mm.
There are other factors for this, including age, alcohol consumption, diabetes, and that genetic predisposition. Those are kind of the combo of factors.
Oh, is this like the nodule thing on your tendons or something? Oh, the pictures are terrible. Just terrible.
I feel like the people with arthritis and the people with Dupuytren's could have some conversations about that. Because it does definitely, that impaired mobility of the hand is tremendously problematic, I would think.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, and then how they fix it. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's move on. You keep talking. I'll stop looking.
It's not super fixable.
Yeah.
Like, there's some mitigation, but fixing isn't totally a thing. But that's not the road I went down here.
Okay, good.
It's extremely rare for people from Africa or the South of Sahara area. They just don't really get it there for the most part. So they started looking at, well, okay, there's heritability, and it is definitely location-based.
Is this just going to come down to our ancestors in those kinds of regions banging Neanderthals? Is that where we're going?
Yep. That's the episode's over.
Okay.
That's where they went with this. Like, this is very heritable. It's very regionable. Have you noticed? If you look at a map and you look up Neanderthal versus Denisovans is the Google search terms I use.
Uh-huh.
A swath of Neanderthals on the Europe side, Denisovans on the Asia side, and archaic Homo sapiens down in Africa. And so there is some travel back and forth probably as things shifted and changed, but mostly they're in those fairly distinct geographical areas. And so someone clearly noticed that. And now in this wonderful day and age, there are genetic databases and banks. So UK Biobank, FinGen R7, and Michigan Genomics Initiative somebody culled through all that data, and they were able to nail down 61 genomes that were significant variants associated Dupuytren's disease.
Oh, wow.
So that's a good amount of genomic information. And then they further analyzed that. And the three common variants, including the second and third most strongly associated ones, have Neanderthal origin. So somebody just started asking questions, and all the data was there to know this. Somebody just had to go looking, but they've nailed it down saying, you are descended of Neanderthals. So that's exciting.
So the Homo sapiens, who were kind of swingers and dating anybody, picked up some extra genomic stuff that makes our hands get weird.
Yeah, wherever that transition from Neanderthal to modern man came, if you have that Neanderthal in your history.
Wow.
So I think that's kind of fun. I thought it was interesting a few years ago when they're like, you can know if you have Denisovan or Neanderthal genetics in you. And I think it's interesting.
It is interesting. I saw something that they were saying that people of European descent have different amounts of how much you can have to like 4% Neanderthal DNA.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, I saw this one special and it was kids that were testing, you know, they were testing for that. And this one poor kid had like 3.5% and they were all like, wow, you really do have a big forehead. Oh. I mean, it was just terrible.
Oh, maybe he has good stamina and he's very agile. Be cool, people.
Can he run for days?
Yeah. This article cites that that Europeans could have as much as 2% of their genome as Neanderthal, and Asians today could have up to 5%. So, of course, that variance to...
Right.
Children shouldn't have this information. Not in a group collectively like that.
Schools stop doing the DNA test. I mean, like the testing with... And, you know, these students are finding out that their parents are not their parents.
Yeah, it turns out your Auntie Joan is actually your mother. Welcome to sixth grade. And your classmates know.
Maybe we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, so many of those specials on weird things like that are like, and we learned it in biology class. Oh, boy.
Yeah. We did a Punnett square, and I'm like, but wait, I'm the only one with blue eyes, you know?
Yeah. I love that analysis of data. I'm not good at it, but I love that there's so much to be had in those databanks of genetic information if you ask the right question.
Yes. And especially if you, and see, this is like the kind of stuff that Chaz does, where you're using computer programs and being able to crunch through so much data. You know, if you had to just look through a whole bunch of three ring binders, you'd never get it done.
Exactly. And so as computing changes, there's a whole world out there
where we learn why our hands are crabby.
Yeah. Do you want to know another? It's been a handy kind of week for me. I was reading a terrific book whose title you all deserve to know. Let me find it. I have been reading the book The Swifts by, it is a young adult or a kid's book, and I'm really enjoying it. Oh, by Beth Lincoln. The Swifts by Beth Lincoln. And there is a sailor character and a kid, and they do a handshake. And shenanigan, the character does not spit on her hand before shaking hands with Uncle Maelstrom. And he's like, oh, no, you won't get away with it that easily. A dry handshake is no promise at all. And so I'm like, is that why we spit on our hands? Like, you see people spit and shake? So I started looking that up, trying to find search terms I'm using are sailor handshake. And I did not turn up a ton of information on that. I did go down the road of why do we handshake now? And that is a very old practice. But interestingly, the common greeting of a handshake is not that old. That only dates into like the Victorian when it started showing up in manners books on you mustn't squeeze too hard or you won't be invited. You ought never to have an opportunity to repeat that offense. That comes from 1877. The handshake was as seen as early as 9th century BC in a relief which shows an Assyrian king shaking hands with a Babylonian ruler to seal an alliance. And so early on, they thought that people would clasp hands to show that their word was a sacred bond. They also think that shaking motion demonstrated that they had no weapons up their sleeves. That's delightful. I would like somebody to be worried enough about me that they're like, let's shake on it. Let's do a real good shake.
See if anything falls out on the floor.
Yeah. And then the third random road, as I'm looking up, like, sailor handshake. If you look that up, and parents, this is going to discuss topics that you may not have introduced to your children. So just
too late.
You can pause now, parents, or if you're feeling delicate today, the sailor's handshake is the same as a regular old handshake. You shake hands, but then let's say you shake with your right hand. You use your left hand to grasp the back of the person's elbow and give it a little squeeze to see if the glands are swollen. And if they are swollen, there is likely an infection, and that it's probably syphilis is how they interpret that data. So as the sailors are coming to shore and meeting ladies that they might enjoy companionship of, presumably the ladies figure this out too and would do the same in that transaction of the handshake. It's a determinant of, is there infection in those glands?
You got to have some pretty swollen lymph nodes to feel it in your arm.
That's what I thought. I'm like, wow. So perhaps syphilis is a severe enough infection that it does present in that way. And of course, the articles are like, this is not foolproof. Like, it might not be syphilis. It might be some other weird infection, but that's still a red flag. Or you might miss something because it's not presenting in that way. But when you have no other way to check besides, hey, do you have anything communicable? it's a little bit better than self-reporting. It probably gave them a little bit of a sense of agency.
Wow.
So that's the road I wandered down.
It's making that claw hand sound even better because it's like, I can't shake any hands because I can't move my fingers. Actually, that's terrible.
I will give you a slight nod. Sorry, buddy. If you're not a hugger or a handshaker, it's probably great.
Yeah, my dad had like the nodules on the tendons.
That
and so
terrible.
Like sometimes his hands would stick. I bet you that's related in some way, that instead of having arthritis in your joints, you have old age tendons.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I need to do some hand stretches.
Yes. Yeah, they're showing nodule like things on the tendons in illustrations.
Yeah.
I got sidetracked by Neanderthals here. I was glamored by that. And so I didn't go to the why does this terrible thing happen?
No, and I like better that, I mean, you went to the base of why this
which
happens.
Is unusual for me. I went straight to the source, everybody. Neanderthals. The Neanderthals before Neanderthals.
Neanderthal. That's a whole different mm-hmm. debate. I've used both kinds. So whatever irritates you, you can just choose which one to listen to.
I like that.
Well, that was fun.
It's the rambling road.
But see, that's what's so fun about researching is you go, oh my gosh, what about this? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what about that? Then it's 3 a.m. and you're like, I need to wrap up researching this episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
I promise to bring two really feel good episodes next time because we've done two today. And
there we go.
They have both been a little doom and gloom.
Not terrible. Horrible. And thank you all for liking and subscribing. If you've made it this far today, just hit the stars because you're here already, right? Scroll down a little, hit some stars. Yes. It makes us happy. And a fairy gets her wings. I don't know. It's something. Something
happens. Like a child gets their dictionary.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Nice.
And someone gets an OED.
Yes. Now I'm curious, no. In academic communities, is there some snobbery around the OED versus the Webster?
Oh, 100%. Oh, did you just get your dictionary definition out of a comic book? Okay, I see.
Academic trash talking is different.
It's totally different. Wow, way to not get your grant, Nigel. You know that's happening. You know it's happening all the time.
You know, if only you'd used the Oxford instead of the Webster. This might have turned out differently.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. See, I'm doing it again. Take a shot. Okay.
Anyway.
Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.